Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Have you all ever looked back as an inventory of your past and think of a decision that you made or thought of making, and you think of the outcome of that decision, and then you say to yourself, if only I would have taken my time and been more patient. If only I would have decided and made a different choice. The phrase, if only, it has powerful implications on our journey as a people. Before we get into our passage this evening, let us read the passage. But first, before we do that, let us please accept as a title of our message this evening, if only. Once again, the title of our message this evening is, If Only. Now, our passage this evening, is a familiar passage. We've used it in a previous message. You mighty men and women of God, 2 Samuel 23rd chapter, 13th through the 17th verse. The passage, it reads as follows. And three of the 30 went down to the start of the grain cutting, and they came to David at the strong place of Adullam, and the band of Philistines has taken up their position in the valley of Rephaim. And at that time, David had taken cover in the strong place, and the armed forces of the Philistines was in Bethlehem by the doorway into the town. And the three men, forcing their way through the Philistines' army, got water from the well of Bethlehem by the doorway into the town and took it back to David, but he would not take it, but pouring it out and made an offering of it to the Lord. And he said, Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. How may I take as my drink the lifeblood of men who have put their lives in danger? So he would not take it. These things did the three great men of valor. This obscured episode and this distinguished and well-documented story of David's life, it serves as an opportunity to reflect on the rich history of African-American people as we observe Black History Month. If only these two words, which David sighed, betrayed his thoughts of a past time when he enjoyed not only the refreshing water from the well of Bethlehem, but a time of peace and order. These same two words, they have fallen often from our own lips as we reflect back on past times and opportunities. These words, if only, they're uttered, when looking back in retrospect on a situation or event and wishing for another opportunity to do it or experience it again. And that's because your if only, it also involves 2020 hindsight. If we knew then what we know now, things would be different or better. If only, it also speaks of something hoped or longed for, not realizing that anyone was listening. David said to himself, if only someone would give me a drink of water from the water hole of Bethlehem. The Bible says that these three mighty men of David, at risk to their own lives, forced their way past the enemy gods to the well of Bethlehem, fill a royal wineskin with water, and fought their way back to David's camp in one of the caves near the valley of Rephaim. 2 Samuel 23. This is an account of David's men of valor, their acts of bravery. They're all recorded in this chapter. There was Jehoshaphat, who the record says lifted up his sword against 800, whom he slew at one time. Verse 8. There was Eleazar, who fought side by side in battle with David. He fought so hard all day. you know, that his hands became welded to his sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And then there was Shammah, who single-handedly stood his ground and defended a small parcel of land from the Philistines, and the Lord was victorious. Verse 11:12. These men, they possess qualities that we should emulate. I mean, Jehoshaphat, he overcame against great odds. Elazar, he pressed his way, even though he was weary and his body wanted to stop. And Shammah, he stood his ground. He stood for something worth dying for. The Bible says, that these three men, they were with David when they heard his words, longing for a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And because of their great courage and love for their own people, they too heard and responded to the words, "If only." They responded, to the "if only" of a people who longed to be free and equal. These mighty men and women, they were responding to years of slavery and social injustice, of people, who collectively hoped for a better education, better jobs, and a better life. First of all, "if only," it speaks of regret. When David uttered the words of our text, his mouth spoke, of a physical thirst, but his heart, it longed, for a former days of his youth, a time of peace and simplicity. At the time of our text, David, he was not only at war with the Philistines, the perennial enemies of the Israelites, but King Saul, and his army, they were pursuing him also. The prophet Samuel had already, anointed David as God's chosen king of Israel, but his coronation and kingdom were some years in the future. And we hear David expressing his regrets as he longed for some cool water from the well of his childhood. The enemy now occupied his beloved Bethlehem. And as he was basically a fugitive from the king, and he basically had things gotten out of his concern, David just wondered, how can things fall apart? He sighs, "If only." I believe, that it was the same sense of regret that fueled, the flames of courage and racial pride that caused our foreparents to excel in the midst of the worst conditions. Perhaps Harriet Tubman said to herself, "It's not good enough that I've gained my own freedom by escaping to Canada, but if only I could help others gain their freedom too." Her response to this self-imposed burden, it led her on 19 dangerous but successful trips into Maryland and parts of Pennsylvania to guide over 300 slaves to freedom. Richard Allen, a former slave who purchased his own freedom and basically answered the call to preach the gospel, he also struggled with the "if only" of regret. He was grateful, that the Methodist Church of the 1790s allowed blacks to worship with them at the same church, but they were politely ushered upstairs and confined to the balcony. Their dead were not allowed to be buried in the church cemetery, and the other blacks, they were not being given opportunity to enter the ministry. I can hear Richard Allen saying to himself, "If only we could control our own religious lives as equal to our white counterparts. If only we could have our own churches and our own pastors." In 1794, Richard Allen, with Absalom Jones, organized Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in the city of Philadelphia. By 1816, Bethel had won its independence from its white Methodist conference, and along with representatives from the black Methodist congregation in Baltimore, Wilmington, Delaware, Salem, New Jersey, and Attleboro, Pennsylvania, met and organized a new denomination, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the first fully independent Black denomination in America. Two words, if only. You know, it charted the course, you know, of a separate and free religious identity for Black in America. In addition, you know, to regret, you know, if only, you know, it speaks of opportunity. Your words that David spoke to himself in private, an unguarded movement, it became, you know, the opportunity for service. David's mighty men, they did no less. In 1870, you know, more than 80% of Blacks in the United States were illiterate. By the turn of the 20th century, still over a third of Black population had never been to school. You know, it was against this background of systemic education deprivation that some mighty men and women of color responded to the hope, if only things were better. Your agricultural chemist, George Washington Carver, who discovered your over 300 uses for the peanut, your he turned down an annual salary of $100,000, today's equivalent of $1 million, to continue his research at Tuskegee Institute on behalf of Black farmers in the South. Your he saw an if only opportunity and made the most of it. Dr. Charles Drew, you know, he was one of those mighty men who during World War II, after watching countless men bleed to death because their wounds, you know, through the thought to himself, if only there was a means of storing blood and transfusing and replacing it when men are wounded and losing large amounts of blood. You know, his introduction of a system for storing a blood plasma revolutionized the medical profession. You know, Dr. Drew, you know, he saw an if-only situation and transformed it into an opportunity that serves mankind. If only, it speaks of regret. It speaks of opportunity. And finally, you know, if only, you know, it speaks of responsibility. Your David soon realized that those two little words, if only, had placed a great burden of responsibility on his own shoulders. You'll listen again to verse number 16. And the three mighty men broke through the hosts of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, that is by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. When David looked into that cup, yo, he didn't see water. Yo, he saw the blood, y'all, of three men who had risked their lives for the sake of his physical thirst. Y'all, to drink that water, that would have cheapened the brave deed of those three heroes. Instead, yo, David, he turned that cave into a place of worship and poured the water out as a drink offering to the Lord. It was an act of dedication that symbolized a person's life poured out in the service of the Lord. The three men had given their lives as a sacrifice to God to serve David. You are the effects of those mighty men and women of our rich history. You are in response, you are to these two words, if only. You know, they were just as courageous and noble as those of King David's mighty men. You know, men like Martin and Malcolm, you know, they literally poured their very lives out in the service and best interest of their countrymen. And like David, you know, we must, you know, look beyond historical firsts, great inventions, innovations, and world records, and see, you know, their act of sacrifice too. You see, you're too many of us. You know, we're drinking from the cup with no regards to their sacrifice. Modern-day African-American athletes are drinking, you know, from the cup that Jesse Owens, Jack Johnson, Satchel Paige, and countless others who have drawn from the wells of injustice and oppression, if only, or it speaks of responsibility, our responsibility. Yo, when we sit home and not exercise our right to vote, yo, that means, yo, that brave civil rights marchers, yo, they were hosed, beaten, and bitten by dogs, all in vain. Yo, Major Evers, yo, he gave his life in response to African Americans who thought, if only I had a right to vote. Yo, three young men by the names of James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Switzner, yo, they were kidnapped and murdered in the backwoods of Mississippi because they heard the words someone saying, if only the schools that my children go to were as good as the school that little white children go to. If only I could go to the restaurant of my choice, sit down where I please, and be properly served and treated with dignity and respect. Mighty men and women of color, you know, they have broken through the ranks of systemic racism because they heard the cry. The Klan couldn't stop them. The Jim Crow laws couldn't deter them. Nobody made them do it. Nobody told them to do it. They did it, you know, out of love and concern for their own people. And we today, as we hold our cups, cups filled, you know, with the fruits of their labor and sacrifices, this cup, yo, it represents better jobs, better homes, better education and opportunities. In our cup, y'all, we hold a bright and promising future. And not, y'all, just for ourselves, but our children and grandchildren. If only, y'all, it speaks of responsibility. And y'all, what do we do, y'all, with the contents of our cup? Which will, of course, determine, you know, the value and honor that we place, you know, on the sacrifices of those who have paved the way. Well, you know, David, he poured the water out of his cup, not out of your ingratitude, but as an offering. You know, let's look back just for a moment, you know, to those mighty men of David. You know, it says, you know, that Eleazar, you know, he fought the Philistine until his hand grew tired from holding the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Yo, it says, yo, that Shammah, he stood his ground on a small piece of land and fought the enemy all day, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And the Lord wrought a great victory. So, yo, it was the Lord, yo, of hosts, who was really, yo, fighting their battles. Yo, it was God mighty in battle who made these men and women. So David, yo, he poured out the water as an offering unto the Lord, the one who had broken through the enemy's camp and dipped his cup into the well of the episode. And when David looked into that cup, yo, he saw the blood of his mighty men of valor. Yo, what do we see when we look into our cup? More importantly, yo, what will we do, y'all, with the water that has been drawn from the wells of life? Yo, we must all, y'all, be mindful that our children and grandchildren, yo, they are dependent on our continued contribution to the cup. No number of drops are too small. No offering of love, support, compassion, any of the fruits of the Spirit will be rejected. And remember, y'all, one day, yo, Jesus, he also looked into a cup. Yo, he looked into a cup of bitterness. But instead of pouring out the contents of this cup, yo, he became the offering. Yo, Jesus himself, yo, was poured out as an offering for the sins of the world. Yo, and it all began, y'all, in eternity past, when the Trinity, during one of God's heavenly conference, pondered the proposition that we too must each ponder as we strive to strengthen our community, strengthen our family, and strengthen the mission. So I say to those great people of us, you know, to all of us who stand on the grounds of God's faith, to this great God that we serve, and you are to every inch of the mission that God has placed before us. I say, Happy Black History Month, and may God bless us, may God keep us, is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.